It's January 1968. A vicious war is raging in Southeast Asia. It is the Vietnam War. An ugly war. It's April 1968. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is assassinated. Just a few months later, it's June 1968. Senator Robert F. Kennedy is viciously gunned down. A month later, it's July 1968. Ellsworth Bumpy Johnson, Harlem's number one black gangster, dies. It's August 1968, and every major city in America is still up in flames. Black folks said they've had enough. At that very same time, those very crazy days, a 9-year-old kid in the ghetto of Atlantic City said to himself he wanted to be somebody. Not Martin Luther King, but the Bumpy Johnson of his town. A town awash in racism, corrupt politicians, mobsters, pimps, drug dealers, and churches on every corner. The kid was Robert Midget Mobley, a self-made man who, at the tender age of 9, began his criminal climb by picking up numbers from the poor people in his rundown neighborhood, who were mostly women, hard-working black women, like his mother, who by now was a widow with 6 mouths to feed, having saw 6 other children off and into the world on their own. Number running quickly turned into drug running after Midget Mobley heard stories about drug lords like Frank Lucas, whose life story was portrayed by Denzel Washington in the recently released movie American Gangster. The names Frank Lucas and especially Nicky Barnes became superhero names to the now 12-year-old kid who everyone called Midget Mobley. A kid who started shooting guns at the same time he started running numbers. The same kid who shined the shoes of the local drug dealers as he listened to the ghetto stories about the black mafia of Philadelphia and the drug lords of Harlem. These became his role models, and he set out not to be like them, but bigger. Bigger than them in pomp and pomposity. It's now 1978. A void has been left in black America. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is dead. The Black Panther Party is dead. The Black Mafia is gone. Frank Lucas is gone. Nicky Barnes is gone. But Midget Mobley is still climbing. He's 19 years old and ready to assume his position as King of Kings. But that honor would not come for another 10 years. In the meantime, Midget Mobley, the gunslinger, drug dealer, is earning his way to the top the good old-fashioned way. Around the same time, his brother, Michael Mobley, thinks his little brother has outgrown the local hustlers and now needs to step out on his own. Thus, he takes Midget to New York for the very first time. It's Harlem, and it's everything Midget Mobley had heard about from the local hustlers. It's four corners of human misery, all looking for that miracle drug that would take them away from the madness of the world, gone insane by its own success. The drug of choice was heroin, and Midget Mobley was to become Morpheus, the god who would make New Jersey's addicts' dreams come true in the form of some knee-shaking, eye-closing, head-nodding white powder they called smack. Seeing a sea of humanity posted from every corner in Harlem from 112th to 116th Street, looking for what he sold on the corners of KY and the Curb in Atlantic City, New Jersey, just amazed him. He purchased 100 quarters of dope called yellow tape from Mingo, a kid who was not much older than him at the time. A New York quarter of dope back in the 70s made for 2.5 quarters in Atlantic City. So you do the math. Within a year, Midget Mobley was what the hood would call nigga rich. He had on the latest gear, drove the newest cars, and slept with the prettiest young women his age. In 1980, Midget Mobley met Big Lou from the Bronx, who was a drug kingpin in his own right. Big Lou introduced Midget to real heroin. Not that scrambled stuff from the corners of 116th Street. Big Lou supplied Midget with pure heroin. From there, Midget Moley never looked back. In 1985, another drug was taking the place of the Dreammaker, as Midget called his quarters of heroin. The new drug was crack, and it changed the game forever. But it made Midget Moley a multi-millionaire and saw him crowned the King of Kings.